I'm Brian McCreath with Francois Xavier Rote, who has returned to the Boston Symphony with a sort of continuation of some things that you've been doing in past concerts with the BSO. Francois Xavier, it's great to have you back. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with me.
My pleasure.
And by continuation, we mean a couple of things. We mean, first of all, you've brought along something that's almost unheard, like people don't even know this overture by Mayol, and then also a continuation of your Beethoven work with the BSO, which I think is tremendous. So let's talk about Mayol first. What is it about his music? On paper, it looks so similar to, say, Haydn, the same instrumentation, the same basic time period, maybe same as Beethoven. Is there something about Mayol's music that makes it specifically more French than the other music that we think of from that time period?
Definitely more French, because Mayol was, with Gossec, another composer I brought here in Boston, Mayol was the typical revolutionary composer. So he's one of the best known French composers at the time, writing music for the French Revolution. So he's famous in our country for the people interested in this period in our history. For sure, it was a difficult period for the artists in France. There were some musicians who wanted to stay with the monarchy and some musicians who wanted to push everything really far away. And Mayol was one of these revolutionaries. So I find that his music is very interesting to perform for many reasons. First of all, Beethoven heard most of his work. Beethoven was very interested in what happened in France at the time, for sure for political reasons, but also for the music, what happened there. And Mayol was also, with Gossec, one of the first composers in France trying to bring and build a symphonic tradition. So it's a composer who wrote operas, but also symphonies and many different things, and once again, music for the revolution itself. So it's really, yes, in terms of time, it's close to Haydn, it's close to Beethoven, but in a very specific political context, which is why I found for this very concert where we performed the Beethoven Fifth Symphony, which is full of revolutionary quotes in Beethoven's music itself, it would be very interesting to program this Mayol composer.
And aside from the composer himself, is there something about the overture to the Amazons which makes it the right choice for this program?
Yes, Les Amazones is a brilliant overture. It was performed in front of Napoleon himself. The opera didn't work that much, but I find it good because overtures is a kind of a taste. You can taste something you don't know, and if you want to know more, you can buy CDs or go on YouTube and watch what is, for example, his opera Joseph, which is a very, very beautiful music as well, or his symphonies. I conduct also his symphonies very often. So overture is a good way to faire connaissance, to know for the first time a composer.
And would we find that French composers who followed, maybe Berlioz, would have known Mayol and, yes, and would have picked up on some of what he was doing to continue the French voice in music?
Berlioz knew his music, but Berlioz was a crazy, radical, utopic composer who would never try to expand or develop something that was already written. He was too proud of himself. Maybe the only one would have been Beethoven, because Beethoven, for the musicians, was his god to Berlioz. But part of that, this great composer, I would say that if there is no continuation, but that said, it is once again a music that today we don't know so much. It's quite so rare to hear this music. And for me, it's very interesting also because Why do they disappear, these composers? It's difficult to explain. I think that for many reasons, and for sure, when we compare the corpus of the symphonies by, for example, Haydn, Mozart, and for sure Beethoven, it is really difficult to compete. For French, but also for the others. We don't know that much symphonies at the same time because simply there were hits at the time and it's difficult to compete.
So when it comes to Beethoven's Fifth, there's so many ways that we could say that it's revolutionary. And what you said to me a few years ago about Beethoven experimenting with something in every symphony, it's almost a loaded question. I don't even know where you begin to unpack everything that he's doing in the Fifth. But is there something that overrides, in your mind, what Beethoven was doing in the Fifth as his most important experimentation?
I mean, with the Fifth Symphony, Beethoven, for me, radically gets into another dimension with the music. What the music can express from the Fifth Symphony is something totally new. For me, it's the first, maybe the first, political music. The famous first movement, for example, is for me, in music, a representation of what was, for Beethoven, his ideal parliament. How the music, how the reply, arguing, contradictory, explaining, interrupting, etc. Suddenly, with the Fifth Symphony, the music organization has another shape, simply, and another radicality. So it's a very important work. And also how it's the first time in his symphony manner that he, like a dramaturge, he builds these four movements. We have ta-di, ta-di, and then the second movement, pi-da-da, and then the third movement, to-di-da-da-da, and the last movement, ta-re-da. So it's very interesting to see the complementary of every movement in the whole work and a kind of aspect, yes, political. What music can make as an effect to the people. He doesn't want anymore, but since a long time, that music is simply a decoration of life. Music can change human being, and in which sense? To live better together, to say the things, to be honest between each self. And for me, it's really touching to see. In the work, you can compare many quotes. You have quotes from the French Revolution. So for me, it's very touching because to see that Beethoven used that in this so famous work.
Do you feel like audiences, especially in France at the time, would have picked those things out and would have recognized those things and found a kindred soul in Beethoven?
Yes, certainly. It's an interesting question because today it's much more complicated to realize the effect of the work, because we know it since we are babies. But at the time, the shock of the first bars, for example, for the audience, should have been people who would have shouted, what happens, what is that? And such contrast and such radicality and such a new organization of the music. Certainly in France, in the last movement, in the first movement, they would have heard also in the third movement, these references to freedom, to a new politic voice that, as a composer, Beethoven made quite an amplification with his works.
And that opens up that question. It's sort of an age-old question with orchestral music. How do you take something that's so familiar and make it sound revolutionary in the moment? What is it that you do with the BSO this week to open this piece up and not make it sound routine? Like, we have known it since we were babies, right?
This is a good question. And for me, it's always the same work. When I decide to conduct a work, I'm only interested in one thing, is to try to serve and to recreate what wanted the composer to hear. So, for example, in the Beethoven Fifth Symphony, we started yesterday, and it was very touching and fascinating to see how the musicians, maybe they are not used to the way I conduct and read this work, but they reacted very well and very quickly, and many of them came to me and say, but it's really refreshing to play the work like we play for the first time. And for me, if that's the only point in music. In music, you're not a museum. You're not something repeated and repeated and repeat. And for sure, the magicness of music interpretation is that we react. For example, my interpretation is a reaction to what I learned from Harnoncourt, Gardiner, but also from conductors like Kleiber and before maybe Karajan, etc. And then the reactions will follow in the future, and we don't know how the interpretation world of Beethoven Fifth will be in 50 years. And this is fascinating with music. It's never stopping, the reaction chain.
And the soloist that you have for Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21 is someone who also, I think, lives by that. That thing sounds so fresh when Benjamin Grosvenor plays, almost any of the music that he plays, but certainly what I just heard in rehearsal with Mozart sounded really electrifying and fresh. Tell me what you hear in his playing. Have you worked with Benjamin before, and is that the kind of thing that you hear and that you value in his playing?
I not only worked with him a lot before, but I brought him here to Boston. I think he makes his debut with the orchestra in this week. And he's for me, one of the best pianists for this music. He can play many things also, and he's a very good Beethoven and Brahms. And he's a very simple artist. He has such a great balance with his ego, for example, which I find so important when you are talking about soloists in general. And he serves the music so well, but also, trying to refine this roots of what is this work, how the music should sound. Even he uses a modern piano, but I mean, he's really a very touching and great artist. I'm very glad that we do this concert here together.
François-Xavier Roth, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.